Welcome, dear friends, to the Message of Truth coming to you from the studios of Way of Truth Ministries, Altoona, Pennsylvania. We're delighted that you are on that side of the radio listening and that we have the privilege from this side to share with you the good Word of God. We're going to talk about the boldness. All of us need boldness as we go forth and try to witness for our Lord Jesus Christ. We need boldness as we labor for Him to be faithful, consistent. And so we trust that thoughts that are given to you this week will be a real vital blessing to you. First, we want to go to the Lord in prayer. Then we'll have a good quality song, and then we'll get right into the message. Now, again, our Heavenly Father, we come before Thee knowing that every good and perfect gift comes from Thee, from the Father of mercies. And Lord, we just delight in the fact that You care for us. Lord, even as today in reading, I come across the fact that You're the eternal God that we can rest in, and You change not. And so, Lord, even today, may we share that. May our precious listeners be encouraged in Thee. Now, we ask You, dear Lord, to take the Word of God that we present and meet the need of each heart in life. You know we do not know that need. But You know, Lord, and so we cast it upon Thee. We pray You'll bless in every aspect of the recording of these messages, and then as they're aired, bless the various and sundry stations that air our program. We just thank You for them, and again, thank You for the privilege of sharing the Word of God and helping people to grow thereby or to come to know Thee, whom to know aright is life eternal. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I don't care to tell you where I stand. I stand on the Word of God and not man. It's what thus saith the Lord. People want to know who's right, who's wrong, so they argue on and on. Still, it's what thus saith the Lord. Let every man be a lie, and I'll tell you the reason why. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. If you want to know the truth, you can be free. You open up your eyes and you will see. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. People love to hear a lie, and they gossip, my oh my. They form an opinion, and that's where they stand. They love to hear a tale that's never been told, and the old ones never grow old. Anything upon their fellow man. Let every man be a lie, and I'll tell you the reason why. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. If you want to know the truth, you can be free. He'll open up your eyes and you will see. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. Well, I don't care to tell you where I stand. I stand on the Word of God and not man. I don't care to tell you where I stand. I stand on the Word of God and not man. It's what thus saith the Lord. Let every man be a lie, and I'll tell you the reason why. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. If you want to know the truth, you can be free. He'll open up your eyes and you will see. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life.
Well, amen. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. He's one that guides us in our everyday activity. Now, we concluded the program last week with the thought from Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to go back there, just pick up, and then we're going to run right along. And that is in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. And you can kind of follow after this in Luke 10. But here in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, he said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, For they will deliver you to the council. They will scourge you in their synagogues. He shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. And when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Now, it's interesting that the Lord lays out before his disciples, and of course it would translate to us as well. Those of us who have believed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ have received him as our personal Savior. He says, I'm going to send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Well, if you're understanding of what a wolf will do to sheep, the wolf will devour, kill. Whether or not they want to eat the sheep, that doesn't make any difference. But the killing is an instinct of the wolves to kill its prey. And yes, they'll eat some of it. But he says, you're going to go out there, and that's just how it's going to be. We have the account of Paul saying about the mighty bulls of Bashan. It wasn't that he was attacked by bulls out in the field. It was just that the people acted like a raging bull. And, you know, I've seen bulls. I grew up on the farm. I've seen bulls be that angry. They actually jumped, like trying to get over top of the feed rack. And they can be as nasty as can be. Well, that's what Paul talked about. That's what even prophecy toward the Lord over in the book of Psalms, that people would act, and the Pharisees did. They acted like a bunch of raging bulls, and the Sadducees, these religious leaders, wanted to do away with Christ. It didn't matter that he hadn't done anything wrong. They thought he was wrong anyhow. They didn't like him, and they'd do whatever they could to get at him. Well, the Lord says to his disciples, this is what's going to happen to you. Now, he says, beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the council and scourge you in their synagogues. And you read about the disciples and how they went out into the world after the resurrection of Christ and the ascension of Christ. And they were persecuted. They were thrown in prison. They were brought before the councils and all those kind of things. But this is something that we have to understand. This is the world and their hatred for us. We have it today in our society. You have the Muslims who will not tolerate anything that they suppose is against their religion. And, you know, they're not willing to let you have your own faith or your own, may I use the word religion? Now, I don't believe a Christian has religion. I believe we have a way of life. It's called Christianity. But what I'm saying, if you understand, I'm using that term just in relation to these cultic type groups and false religions. And you have your own faith, or as we said, you could term it religion. And they say, and that's in Christ, it's from God. But they say, well, we've got it because we caught ours from Moses, and they go on their merry way. And then you have the Hindu who does not eat meat or all kinds of situations, and they want to impose their belief upon you. And you can go to all of the, I mean, so many of the countries, Southeast Asia, over in Asia, and in other areas. These false religions have taken hold of the people's minds and hearts. They're living in fear, but you're not, supposedly not allowed to give out the gospel. But how wonderful it is when the people of that country come to know Christ as their Savior. They're willing to hazard their life. They are going out as sheep among wolves, and they're praying that they're going to get through and get those Bibles to people and the reading materials to people so that they can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. But that's what we're going to face. That's this world. That's this life. But we need to have boldness. You recall, and I'm not going to go back and read all those, but how that Peter and John were persecuted by the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, and so on, and they came back to their company, and they prayed that they might have boldness just to proclaim the word of God again. Now, we need to understand that no matter what the crucible is that we're put into, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, at verse 20, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." I like what the psalmist says in Psalms 23. A wonderful psalm, and this is a psalm that's probably the favorite of many, many people. And this is what it says in verse 4. Notice this. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Now stop for a moment. Why? Why wouldn't he fear evil going into that valley of the shadow of death, where death is lurking at every corner? Well, here's his answer. He said, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." You know, beloved, when you stop and read that verse and really let it sink in, God says that he is with us in that crucible. Whatever we may face, he is with us. And that was the promise of Matthew chapter 28 when he gave out the Great Commission. Now, let's look at a couple of things. I believe we need to look at what this boldness. Now, again, this is not presumption. It is not, foolhardy thinking. It is a dependence upon the Lord. And one of the things that's key till we get started in the book of Acts and see the unfolding of the planting of churches around the then known world, there's one thing that the disciples were told to do. They were to be gathered in Jerusalem. Luke chapter 24 declares this. They were to tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power. And then in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Lord, just before he ascended up into heaven, said this, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now, he is saying, ye shall be endued with power. This is not some foolhardiness. He is saying, I'll give you the power to be able to stand in front of man and talk and tell them about me, to declare the truth. And when you're brought before the council, I'll put the words in your mouth. But do we believe that he would do that? Do we believe that we can put our confidence and trust in him? Well, you see, if we'll come before him and be in earnest prayer, you go over to chapter 2 and you find that, of course, verses 9 through 11, Christ ascends up from those disciples. And then in chapter 2, we find when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And then this sound as of a mighty wind and the cloven tongues like as of fire sat upon them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. And as I said, that is not a heavenly tongue. It was the tongue of the people, because all you have to do is read verse 8. And now, how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? But what I'm saying is, these disciples were together and praying. We understand there was 120 in that upper room praying. And they were praying for God, maybe for his power, for God to give them insight as to how they can go out and declare Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. I don't know all their prayers. We're not told the words they prayed. And I believe for one reason. God doesn't tell us the words they prayed because we'd think we have to pray those same words in order to get the same power. My friend, God wants you and me to come to him in simplicity and say, "Lord, here I am. I'm weak. I need your strength." However those words may come forth, that I want God to get the glory out of my life. I want God to give me the power to be able to talk to this people and that people and share with them the good word of God. I can honestly tell you that when the Lord called me into the ministry, there was no way I could stand in front of people and tell them about Jesus Christ. and to have thought of getting in at a microphone and speaking the word of God that many would hear it, that was out of my league. I was just not ready for that. But God, I remember the prayer I prayed. Now, don't you go and say you have to pray this prayer. I prayed. I said, Lord, if you're going to use me as a preacher, you're going to have to take away this introvertedness. You're going to have to help me to be able to declare your word. I didn't want anybody to know me. You don't have to know me, but I want you to know my Savior. And you know, I'll tell you what, God has worked in my life. I started out preaching on the street corners. Then I went and worked for 2 summers in tent revival. I was a song leader and assistant there in the tent the second year. But I got in front of people and had to do. These were people I didn't know. These were people that God had given me with the privilege of sharing the word of God, whether it was in song or whether it was in the spoken word, which the evangelist allowed me to have a couple of services there with him. And we'd be about a month in an area. But you know, beloved, what I'm saying is God gives the strength. That's what he did to his disciples. It was not the words, it was the heart. They opened their heart up, and God could work in their lives. So if we're going to have this boldness of the Lord, first of all, it's got to come through prayer. In fact, I'll tell you what, we're going to have a song, but in the meantime, while that song is being aired, would you turn in your Bibles then to Ephesians and chapter 3. In just a few moments, we'll be back to our study.
There are battles we must fight from day to day. Will you stand for truth and clearly point the way? There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. He gives strength we need to run the race of life. You are not alone. There is power in God's Son. He has given everything. So have confidence, for there's strength within the one who supplies our every need. So be strong. Seek release. Give your burdens to the one who can give peace. As you live by faith and seek to do what's right, simply follow him and press on with the fight. You are not alone. There is power in God's Son. He has given on, for there's power in God's Son. Be strong in the Lord, be strong in the Lord, be strong in the Lord.
Amen. Be strong in the Lord. That's what we're talking about. Go with me to Ephesians in chapter 3, and I want you to start with me in verse 7. Now, there's so many other things we could look at here in the very beginning. as he talks about this dispensation of the grace of God, which literally he's talking about the church, that it's made up of Jew and Gentile. But come down to verse 7, and that's where we're going to start. Wherefore, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. God's power, that's boldness. God's boldness was upon Paul that he could be a preacher of the grace of God. Now go over to verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Now notice, this is a power that works in us. It is not something we conjure up by doing this or that or the other thing. We, in prayer, seek the face of God for the strength, the ability, the power to do the work that he's called us to do. Now, God will give us that power. God delights in giving us that power. Now go with me as we read now in verse 8. Unto him, that's Christ, who am less, or pardon me, it's Paul, he's given unto me. I want to, the power is given by Christ unto Paul. Who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. See, Christ gave him that power. That power is in Christ, Matthew chapter 28, as we said. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. This power of God, this boldness that we have, develops through, is developed in us that we might declare the wisdom of God, that we might show forth the wisdom of God. If I go out here to try to exalt myself and let you know how wonderful of a guy I am and all that I've done, then I'm not speaking under the power of the Spirit of God. I'm sorry, it's just not so. I must, you know, John the Baptist said it this way. He must increase, I must decrease. And you know, beloved, as we exercise that power that God gives us, as we exercise that power to go forth and share the word of God, it is not we who are going to be looked at. It is going to be this one that we're preaching about, even the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, reading some of the old saints that have, you know, laid the groundwork for us, to realize that they, in their desire to go forth, did not try to go forth in their own strength, but they were trying to go forth in the power of the Lord. And if they would be known by the rest of the church or by the believers, it was going to have to be somebody else, not them, that's told the story. What a great testimony, legacy we have in front of us of the people who have gone out to do that work that God has called them to do, but to pave the way for you and for me who have come on those later years. All the hardships. I think of the months on at sea as men sailed over to India, to Africa, and so forth. Today, getting on a jet plane in a few hours, we're there. What a difference. But you know what? What they did on that sailing across and then going in on the land and carving out a work gave the possibility for us to be able to follow in their footsteps. And certainly, we have a legacy to follow. Now, he says that he wanted to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities, powers, and in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. You know, it's interesting that Paul writes several times here in this wonderful book of Ephesians about these principalities and powers. Do you remember when he gave the armor to the he mentions the armor, not that he gave pieces or not, but he talks about the armor that you and I are to put on in Ephesians in chapter 6. He says, put on, in verse 11, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our battle out there, even though men may attack us, men may turn against us, we're not fighting against men. Yes, man might carry out the satanic opposition to the word of God, but notice what he says. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. My friend, that is why you and I need to have this boldness and this power from the Lord. It's not power that demonstrates how wonderful I am or what I can accomplish. It's power to be able to go forth and declare the word of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse world. And so Paul says, listen, this is what has happened in his life. And he talks about in verse 11, according as to the eternal purpose which he, God, purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. In other words, we have access to God. I'll not turn there. I'll give you references and invite you to turn about drawing to the Lord. James 4 and verse 8. We have access to God, and that's, again, God's plans. We have access to him so that we might have this boldness. You see that in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Now, my friend, these are just some tidbits that we're giving you that will help you and me to develop a boldness in our character to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And that boldness comes from the Lord, not from anything that we can conjure up. And I hope and pray, as a child of God, you would ask the Lord today to give you the strength, the ability, the boldness to declare his word to friends, family, and anybody you meet, that you might share the good word of God with them. We might be a spiritual help to you. Contact us at WOT@WOTBM.org and mention Message of Truth so we know the direction to put that as it goes into our offices. Father, would you speak to hearts, save souls, encourage Christians, in Jesus' name, amen.